Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with a voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome inside the studios at Everbank Field for another edition of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by Jeff Lagerman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com. Vic Ketchman is alongside. Joe Fortunato is here. You can too. 800-355-NFL1. That's 800-355-6351. If you're in Jacksonville, it's simply 355-NFL1 and you are connected to us. So where do we start this evening?
Do you like Everbank Stadium or Everbank Field?
I like Everbank Field. I think it gives it,
Jeff,
sort of a
I like Everbank Field.
You like that?
Yeah.
Are you a stadium guy?
Yeah, I think I would have preferred Everbank Stadium. I don't know why.
Because field is more of a baseball term?
I don't know why. I think I would have preferred stadium. But I'll get used to Everbank Field.
Okay.
No, it's no big deal.
It's not. Everbank Field sounds good to me.
Stay on the sponsorship kick for just a moment. Thanks to the folks at Seabest. They delivered outstanding food this evening that we will no doubt tell you about over the course of the evening. So where are we? Where do you want to start? You want to start with signing Colby Smith, which is obviously...
Let's start with Deji Kareem.
Well, that was it. An indication that Deji Kareem's thumb is a problem.
Yes. Well, we don't know that. And that, I think, bothers me more than anything. I am against this... intrigue, the suspense. I am against what the league is allowing these teams to do, which is offer no information on injuries at all. I mean, this is not fair to the fans. I'm not saying the Jaguars are wrong because they're all doing it.
Right.
The Jaguars aren't doing anything different than anybody else is doing. They don't have to offer any information, therefore they aren't offering any information. I don't think it's fair to the fans. I think it is wrong. You watch Deji Kareem for two games, light it up on kickoff returns, and all of a sudden you don't know if he's going to play for you or not. That's not fair. I'm not blaming, again, the teams. I think the league needs to step in here and speak for the fans and somehow require these teams to provide accurate information for the fan who is got his heart into the progress of his team.
Well, soon enough, you'll have the teams being required to report the injury information because at this point, it will be in the regular season.
It's not soon enough, though, Jeff. You're asking these people to buy into the preseason. You're asking them to buy tickets. I'm not going to get into the full price thing because
That's another argument.
If you're buying season tickets, it's really not full price. It's just that's what the cost of a season is. But anyhow,
no, I'm with you. I'm with you. What's the relevance of not talking about injuries in the preseason anyway?
Absolutely.
There's no competitive advantage. You're not playing starters.
You're going to cut this guy? I don't think so.
Just talk about it. What's the harm in talking about
it? I completely agree.
Thumb, surgery,
that's really what we know. We don't know that.
Well, we don't know. And that's something that the league needs to address.
I completely agree.
This isn't a team issue. This is a league rule. And it seems like, you know, hey, if so-and-so's not going to talk about it, we're not going to talk about it either.
All I know is this. They were looking at his hand when he got hurt. And when he got hurt, it was a play towards the out of bounds. And when he got up, I'm looking at it through the binoculars, and he didn't show any real signs or anything. Someone must have yelled. There must have been he must have cried out when he fell on it. Because Mike Ryan came flying down the sideline, the Jaguars trainer.
Right.
Came flying down the sideline and got right to him right away. And
when was this?
First half. Right, Brian?
I don't know.
I'm thinking second quarter. I'm thinking after the Dolphins.
I don't
after a Dolphins score. No, I saw it. It was at the Jaguars bench. It would have been at the Jaguars like 35-yard line right in front of your booth on that side of the 50. And, I mean, I saw the whole thing because the thing that alerted me is that I saw.
Well, I saw him shaking his hand when he came off, and then one of the trainers was looking at it.
Mike Ryan came flying down the sideline from 20 yards away.
But Deji didn't didn't act like it was a big deal once he got off the field.
Absolutely, but I'm guessing that when he hit the ground, he must have cried out, which alerted Mike Ryan. You want to hear the thing break. I mean, it's if it's a finger, a thumb, a hand, or a wrist, whatever it is, you want to hear it break. So I have a feeling that Mike heard him cry out when he hit the ground and then ran down the sideline, which alerted me.
All right, so the information that the Times Union has is that it's his left thumb and that he had surgery. Obviously, that has been carried throughout the media.
But where'd they
like
get it?
I don't know. And I don't know that it's accurate. I'm just saying that's what they're reporting. So my question to you is, he's a rookie return man who has to catch the ball.
He's a dynamite rookie return man. I mean, what he's done in the preseason looks like that he could have a chance of leading the league. I mean, here it is. Tampa Bay Buccaneers had the number one kick return man last year, Clifton Smith, 29.1. That led the league. Deji, this year in the preseason, is averaging 32.8, and he had a 47-yarder called back.
Right.
The guy's outstanding.
Yeah, I'm going to editorialize a little more on this.
Okay.
Let's use DeAnthony Smith, for example.
All right.
All right, he hurts an Achilles. In fact, did the team ever say it was an Achilles?
No.
All right, just said it was a foot ankle area, right?
Right.
We know he's had surgery. Now, come on, he's gone. He's gone for the year. I mean,
yeah.
let's stop being coy about this. And that bothered me. But he never played in the game, so, you know, you just let it go. Hey, wait a minute now. This guy showed himself in two games that he was going to be a possible big play guy for this guy, and probably still will be, but he showed that he has big play potential. He excited people. This team is in a push to sell tickets. This team is in a fan-friendly push. Not telling people whether this guy is going to play this year or not. It's not fan friendly.
You're right.
And it would put the Jaguars at a disadvantage to provide that information. That's why it's up to the league to require these teams to provide information not to other teams, but to their fans. These fans
deserve
to know.
Well, if they give it to the fans, the other teams are going to have it. But let me ask you this. I'm in agreement with you. But what advantage does a team get by not talking about it?
Well, Gene Smith would tell you, what advantage do we get by talking about it? My answer to him would be, there you go. My answer would be that you gain the fans' favor. And for a team such as the Jaguars, they need to gain the fans' favor.
How long does this cost him?
We don't know.
Well, I'm talking
about days, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he broke his left thumb,
I don't know.
Okay.
Is there a chance that he would go on injured reserve?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Depends on how bad it is, obviously.
See, that bothers me.
You know, give me an idea. Is it something, you know, hey, let's just put a splint on it and we'll wait a couple weeks?
Tape it to the other one?
Well, you can't tape the thumb to another one. You could probably do that, Brian. I mean, but
yeah, but not for a return, man.
Yeah, but for guys.
That was the old rule. If you could tape it to the other one, you can play.
Well, you can't tape the thumb to another one. So, I mean, you know, we don't know the severity of it. I mean, did he have a bone? Was it a ligament? Was it both? Was it a break? I don't know. Vic Bo, do you know?
Vic Bo don't know.
And with that, we'll take a break and return with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
All right, so that's really the story of the day. Deji Kareem, something with his thumb. Don't know the entire extent of it, but the Jaguars went and signed Colby Smith.
Yeah.
Former product out of Tallahassee and Louisville, who is coming in to pick up that share of the load. So what else strikes your fancy here in the first half hour of the show? Third preseason game, by the way, 7:30 kickoff.
All right, let's talk about these two big position battles that are going to be acted out Saturday, and Saturday's game will decide who the starting left guard and who the starting free safety is. I was able to confirm for my purposes anyhow that Anthony Smith has a hold on the starting strong safety job. He will almost He will very likely be the starting strong safety on opening day. The job that's open in safety is the free safety job after Gerald Alexander. Great guy. Really, really like him. Turned in a stinker on Saturday against the Dolphins.
All three touchdowns.
Poor Gerald. I mean, he had a hold on the job. And then
the bootlegs. You know the bootlegs? Yeah. Oh, Gerald.
He bit bad, huh?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Why would you bite on Henny? I mean, what's he going to do to you? I mean, he's a big bucket guy. He's not going to.
I don't know.
Jack
he didn't have a good day, though.
Described Gerald. If he's described all of his safeties, he said Anthony Smith is by far the hardest hitter, and Gerald Alexander is by far the most aware. And yet, on those plays,
he ruined an entire great spring and training camp. And, you know, and that's.
Well,
I hate to see that. He hurt himself.
He hurt himself.
He won't start on Sunday.
But he didn't ruin it.
Didn't ruin it, but he's not going to be the starter on Saturday.
No.
Reggie Nelson is.
What matters is the one in September on the 12th.
What you do in the regular season is what really matters. Yeah.
But, I mean, this little, I guess, what you're saying, change of the lineup is kind of should serve as a wake-up call. Now, if Reggie goes out there and lights it up, you know.
For what? One game?
Well, you know, I mean, you got to give Reggie a chance, too.
Can they have confidence in him, though? I mean, at this point, have you seen enough that Jack Del Rio, on his show last night, a lot of confidence.
No. This is, I mean, come on. Reggie's not going to start.
You know what bothers me more than anything?
This is a kick in the pants. That's what this is. It's going to be a kick in the pants for Gerald. Hey, get it going or else.
Get out.
You know what I hate more than anything?
What?
That get there just in time at the end to touch the guy down. Oh, that drives me nuts. You know? In other words.
There's a lot of things that drive you nuts.
Yeah, but that's
that gets you? Well, on game day, that gets you.
Yeah.
With a guy with some real speed and quickness, too, there's no excuse for that.
Lots of things drive me nuts. A dog I can't house break, you know? House train. That's driving me nuts.
Didn't know you had a new
get
dog.
Get a new dog.
Oh, no. It's not a new dog.
Trade it in.
It just goes on and on.
What drives you nuts, folks? 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's grab a phone call. We've got Chris on the line from Lakeland. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to offer a brief comment on the thumb healing. Having done the same thing.
Where did you
myself,
hear it was a thumb? We don't know it's a thumb.
Yeah, I got you. I understand. If it were a thumb, from my own experience, having done the same thing, it's got to be at least 6 weeks before he can actually use that thing again. And that's just
Wait a minute, Chris, hold on a minute. You said you did the same thing.
Well, I understand. We don't know what happened.
Did you have surgery on a thumb?
Yeah, I did.
Did they put a couple screws or something in there?
Well, that's the thing. Now, if they put metal in there, I'd say a little longer. But if it's just some basic repair and 4 weeks of healing the bones and then one aspect is because it's the thumb, you can't even do any exercise. You can't even do isometric exercise or a hand strengthening exercise. You lose a lot of strength in your hands while it's sitting there isolated.
Do you remember what natrone means?
A couple weeks afterwards before you could actually get some strength back.
Do you remember when natrone means hurt his thumb?
I do.
Didn't do him any good, did it?
Sure didn't. Which is why my question is.
And this is a guy who's going to catch kickoffs?
Right.
And passes?
I'm just saying, you know, we don't know anything, but if it is what we think it is, I'd say 6 weeks. And that would be really, really rapid.
That would be fine with me, but we don't even know if it's a thumb. I mean, what if he dislocated his pinky finger? We don't know, and that's what bothers me. I want to know. The fans want to know. This guy has become a star very, very quickly, and this team needs stars. For this team, stars are a good thing.
Well, Vic, newspaper is reporting that it is thumb surgery.
Then,
but it doesn't cite a source. It's on a blog. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Did they have anybody that said it's a thumb?
Let's see if there's any quotes. Well, if it'll ever open up. But it's just saying Deji Karim to miss several weeks after thumb surgery. There are no quotes directed towards that at all.
Wait, we did our due diligence today in a press conference. We asked Coach Del Rio about it, and he gave us the thumb.
He didn't give you the
get out
finger. Yeah. He gave you the thumb. That's improvement.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Usually you get the
finger. And I understand their position. You know, GM Gene does the show on Monday with Cole and I.
Right.
And he does a great job. He's transparent on everything, but he's not transparent on this issue because, as he says, I don't have to be. How is that going to help me? This is where the league has to step in and say, you know, if preseason games really are meaningful, then we have to treat them as we treat regular season games.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, preseason games have overtime, just like regular season games.
Correct.
They ought to have injury reports just like regular season games.
Yeah, but coaches don't go for two at the end of the game to tie it up to potentially send it in overtime.
No, because they're smart. What Jack Del Rio did on Saturday night is what you do in this business. You don't risk your players. You don't risk a thumb injury.
Yeah.
You know. But I had someone write to me and say, well, why don't they just change the rules so that there can be no overtime and preseason games that you can go for the tie-ins and the tie. So that if we did that, then we would have one rule for the preseason, one rule for the regular season, and another
postseason.
Rule for the overtime or for the postseason. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I had some people ask me, why didn't he go for two? Because it's preseason.
Because you couldn't go for three?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's
my
exactly.
favorite all-time favorite football line.
He went for one because he couldn't go for three.
Let's try and clear this. We got Richard in Clay County, and we'll clear the thumb issue and be done with it here at the bottom of the hour when we break for news. Richard, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I did have I did have surgery on both my thumbs back when I was in high school. I broke one playing basketball, one playing football. It takes about 6 weeks for that to heal, mm-hmm. and then it's a matter of getting the range of motion and stuff back in there and getting over the pain portion of it. Because every time he takes a hit on it, he's going to think he's broken again.
And this is a world-class athlete. Let's not forget that now. This is
right.
This is not you and me.
Considering, yeah, when I was in high school, you know, you don't have the training system and, you know, to work you through it and stuff like that like you do in college or pro football.
Yeah, I'd just like to know it's a thumb.
You'd like to have it confirmed as a thumb.
Can't we just say it's a thumb?
I'm with you, Vic.
I mean, I don't need to know that there are screws in there, but just tell me it's a thumb.
Give you the general
yeah.
parameters of what the injury was. I got you. I'm with you.
By the way, I think it's the first time I've asked you an injury question that you didn't have an answer in, even in vague
terms.
Well,
I've had thumb injuries.
Yeah,
I mean, but I don't know exactly what Karim has got. I mean, both of my thumbs, I mean, you know, Vic, can you do that to your thumbs like
no.
that? You know, can you turn them all the way back like
no, I
that?
Can't, Jeff. Not many human beings. You know?
I'm
can.
So happy I can.
You know, see, you just kind of you wiggle them around enough, and see that's from getting bent all them years back and
you
forth.
Must be very proud of those. Things.
Very flexible with my thumbs.
Oh dear God! That, ladies and gentlemen, is what separates him
do
from
they,
many other primates.
Just out of curiosity, do they make a betting line on preseason games? Anybody know?
I couldn't tell you if they do it in a regular season. I don't know.
I've never seen one for a preseason game.
Just curious because, I mean, if they did, then you need an injury report.
Yeah. All right, folks, things to ponder here as we go to news at the bottom of the hour. We will return with 90 more minutes of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Well, you can vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher would win club seats to a Jags game, all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. Many sources telling us that you can indeed bet.
Oh, I know that.
Can I be honest with you? I'd never paid attention to it. I never even thought, why would you bet on a preseason game when you don't know who the quarterback's going to be in the fourth quarter? When the game's on the line?
Well, because you're hooked.
I guess. Because you have a gambling problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm told all the same bets are available, too.
Yeah.
Everything that you bet on a regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I don't understand it anyway. I mean, even like regular season, the whole premise of or the desire of gambling. I don't get that.
Well, I bring it up because the idea of the injury report is
it's required
is to make sure that no one thinks anybody's playing with the line. You know,
I just can't believe.
Oh, okay, so let's get an injury report out there so no one thinks anyone's playing with the line.
Well, and you want the injury report not for the line.
I mean, what would
but just for the information?
You know, yeah. This is not about.
Well,
this is not
Vic.
About the point spread. This is about people who really care, genuinely care about the Jaguars. And that's a good thing. We want a lot of those people.
It's the same thing during regular season. I mean, some of the explanations that you get, you know, the Bill Belichick being famous for saying that it's one body part and it's another.
Coughlin used to drive me crazy. I mean, wrong.
I don't understand the purpose. I mean, is anybody really going to target? Can you really target, you know, a particular injury if you talk somewhat about it? No.
Listen, I'll tell you. This is a true story. Not that I would tell you an untrue story. 1992 playoffs. Neil O'Donnell was the Steelers quarterback, and he had a bad knee. So Cowher had him tape both knees. So the Bills didn't know which knee was hurt. I asked Neil after the game, I said, did that work? He says, oh, yeah, it worked. He says, what little mobility I had was gone. I couldn't run on either one.
After both of them. What was it you said? It was a press conference, 97, 98, and Tom made a comment, and you said, Tom, if a guy had a sprained neck, you'd say, or was decapitated, you'd call it a sprained neck.
Yeah, something. I forget what I said, but
and he looked at you like you'd grown a horn out of the middle of his head.
We argued about this subject because what I was trying to tell him is that you have a responsibility to provide information to the fans for promotional purposes for the game. And I said, there's no way you can make me believe that your opponent doesn't already know that information. I mean, these guys are anal when it comes to that stuff.
Well, and in some cases, I mean, in regular season, by you know, being very vague on what injuries are. You remember back when Fred Taylor tore his groin off the bone, and Tom Coughlin said he was day to day.
Poor Fred.
And the fans just started to think that Fred didn't have toughness.
2001.
Hey, here's a great example. This week, we've got a really good example of something happened earlier this week with Aaron Campman. I asked him. I said, Aaron, would you please, and this is a great interview here. This is a guy who can really speak in ways that can be understood. And I said, would you talk about this procedure, this ACL procedure you had, and how is it that you've made this quick recovery? And and he explained that he had a patella tendon graft, not a cadaver ACL graft.
Which are the two methods.
Okay, and blah, 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 blah. All right, I didn't write all of that, but we had Jaguars.com had a videographer there who did the video of this explanation, which was verbalized much better than I could have written it. And we put it on Jaguars.com, and I got a ton of emails from people who were fascinated, loved it. People whose appreciation of the website and their love of the Jaguars were each deepened because of Aaron Campman's. Every team the Jaguars play is going to know that Aaron Campman had ACL surgery. They know all about patella tendons and cadaver grafts and blah, 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 blah. All you're going to do is withhold information to your fans that might deepen their interest in your team. You're not going to withhold. You're not going to keep anything from the teams that you play that would help them.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab a couple of calls here. We've got Bruce who joins us from the beach. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. I agree with you. I think betting on preseason games is a bit of a sickness. And the reason that I'm so adamant about that is that I think that if the Jaguars could put packages together and not include preseason games, they would be much more successful. And when I say that, I don't mean they have to eliminate them, but my thought is that they could go ahead and put a package together, and then if you bought the package, whether it was the four-game package or the season package, you could buy the preseason games at a discounted price.
All right, let me talk on this because the way you're representing this is contrary to the way it is in 90% of the cities in the league. See, in most cities in this league, all the tickets are gone on a season ticket basis, and the cost of a season ticket is the cost of a ticket for the season. That's what it costs. That's what the team has to recover in the way of revenue to be able to put a product on the field. Now, you could take those tickets and you could write $0 on the two preseason tickets and then increase the price of the regular season tickets if that makes you feel good. But you see, you're talking as though these tickets are being bought on a single game basis. Therefore, because it's being bought on a single game basis, the preseason tickets are at regular season prices.
Now let me ask you this, along those lines, what will happen when and if they go to an 18-game schedule? Mm-hmm. Does the structure or the cost of a season ticket jump because now you have 18 competitive games versus 16?
It'll still be divided by 10. Each team is going to have 10 home games, and that's why the value assigned to the ticket, the price that's put on the ticket, is done equally for this very reason. If you don't do it that way, then you could get yourself, you know, caught in a ringer a little bit on something exactly like this. Because what are you going to do with these two preseason games that are lost? You know, there's precedent on this. This isn't the first time this is going to happen. It happened in 1978. They went from 6 preseason games to 4. They went from 14 regular season games to 16. So if you weren't divided equally, and let's not forget, in most places, all the tickets are bought on a season ticket basis, so it doesn't matter what price you assign to each. It's the price of the total ticket, the season ticket, one price for the whole season. You can put any number you want on any game you want. The bottom line is this is what you're going to pay for the season. So please, look at it that way. Don't look at it the way you're presenting it, which is to say on a single game basis, because I would be willing to bet that less than 5%, maybe less than 1% of all the season tickets, of all the preseason tickets that are bought on a single game basis.
355-NFL1. By the way, Roger Goodell said today that 2012 is the target for that 18-game season.
There's no doubt in my mind we're going to go to an 18-2 format in 2012.
Widespread support is how he termed it from NFL owners.
From the owners, yeah.
They met today in Atlanta. So,
but the players are still resisting it. I think the players.
The money will change that, though.
Well, yeah. Well, it may, but the players want to still kind of keep that kind of in their bag of
negotiating
tools.
Yeah,
sure.
And they'll do just what they did in 1978. They'll give them some concessions on the rules to soften the game. Like I said, this is not new stuff.
Well, is this where the two-point stance is coming? Is this what you think?
No. What they're talking about doing, at least the proposal that was brought out today by Arthur Blank, Rich McKay, supposedly had the 18-2 and then expanding the roster, which I've been saying I think is key if you do go to an 18-game schedule, just assimilate the practice squad in the roster.
Well, let me give you an example of what they did when they went from 14 regular season games to 16. Head slap, gone, and they took what was a running game and they turned it into a passing game with the 5-yard chuck rule and the you can hold the other guy rules. You know, blocking.
What about the number of guys who are active on game day? Will that change?
Yeah, it's got to go up. Well, why not?
I mean, if you go to 60 players, why couldn't you have all 60 active in an 18-game
season?
Well,
you know, my whole thing is if they're getting paid, why not have them dressed? Now you can't have, all guys on the roster dressed because it wouldn't be even. Some teams might only be able to dress this number, and certain teams may only be dressed a lesser number. So I agree that, if your roster's set, 60, then you dress 53. Now it's 53, 48, plus one, because you get the extra quarterback. So you want to be able to have a certain number of game day inactive because that at least takes the pressure off of getting everybody dressed for the game and putting pressure on the players to dress to play. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's been explained to me that when you have that number that everybody has to meet, you don't have one team that has 60 players and one team that has 57.
That's right.
Do you know what the most effective way for increasing the scoring has been through the history of the NFL?
No.
Decrease roster size.
How are they related?
No. That is the most effective way, because then the guy's got to start playing special teams.
Oh, gotcha.
They get tired, and they start, you know,
taking plays off. No, the number one impact on scoring, in my view, is the rule changes that they have had.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
but before those rules changes.
Don't hit the quarterback.
That's
you
right.
You know, stay off the wide receivers once they get past 5 yards.
But that's not how they used to do it. Without making dramatic changes in the game, the way they used to do it was play with the roster size.
355 NFL1. We take this break and invite you to test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta. Only at your local Southern Ford dealers. More to come. Jaguars this week after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Had a steady stream of folks making their way from the coaching side, the administrative side, into the radio studio tonight for some of Seabest's best. Thanks to the whole crew over there. They are a new sponsor this year. And they will be here on a weekly basis. And then what they serve to us, they will sample to you on the Pepsi Plaza before home games.
Very good.
Next Thursday you'll be trying some of their scallops, tilapia, shrimp. It's delicious.
Crab
cakes. Thanks to the folks. Yep, the folks at Beaver Street Fisheries do an excellent job.
Smell of fish just brings them down the hall.
Local company. Just like Everbank and Florida Blue folks, nice to have them on board. 355-NFL-1, phone lines have exploded.
Nothing like the smell of fish.
No, there's a lot of it. Rick joins us now from Fort Caroline. Hello, Rick.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I understand why Coach didn't go for 2 in a preseason game. You know, completely committed for that, don't want any injuries. But on our final possession when it was fourth down, why didn't he let Scobie go for a long field goal in in-game pressure?
I don't know.
I don't remember exactly where the line of scrimmage was. Hold on 1 second, and I'll tell you here. The line of scrimmage on that fourth down play was the Miami 43, which would have been 60-yard field goal.
Well, then it's obvious he didn't want his leg to fly off. That's pretty long. It's a fair question. Were they downwind?
Yeah.
No, the wind was coming from that north-northwest direction, so.
It would have been with the wind, a kick with the wind, yeah.
Yeah,
they were
going
driving
toward the river,
to the south
they?
End zone.
Yeah.
The Dolphins were driving that way.
No, the Jaguars were driving toward the river.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, should have tried it.
Yeah, why not?
Then could have got a win. It's big.
Yeah. That's a good question. I mean, heck, Rick, great point.
You know? I totally blocked out that game. I can't recall.
You know, the amazing thing is, though, is that in the preseason, you know, calling the game, you know, and really kind of analyzing the game, my whole mindset changes. And it's not too much about analyzing the actual game. It's about analyzing talent and evaluating talent and looking at talent. That's what I look for.
I was looking at my watch at that point.
So I was, too. You know, well, the clock on my phone. I don't wear a watch, but I get it. Good question.
No, he's right. I'm sure there's an answer,
but,
too.
But here could be an answer. Can Josh Gobe practice kicks and practice from 60 yards? And can Luke McCown, with a young offensive group, practice 4th and 4 with a critical play on the line? You know what I mean? What's easier to practice? In practice, the kick. But it's hard to simulate the conditions of a game and the pressure being put on a quarterback, a young quarterback in Luke McCown, relatively young, and a young offensive group.
Maybe they just wanted the game to end.
Well, maybe.
It was late.
But, I mean, that's a great point to evaluate offense, you know, and so that's probably the thinking there.
Good question.
NFL 1, 355-6351. We've got Rick in Ponte Vedra. Rick, how are you tonight?
Great. Hi, gentlemen. I have two questions, one for Vic and one for Jeff. Vic, I would like your analysis on how common and how good of a move it was on draft day to pick up Kirk Morrison, who's going to become our starting middle linebacker. And Jeff, in segue to the previous question, I'd like your analysis on his potential. And can you put him in the Wally Rayner, Mike Peterson category? Where does he fit in your perspective?
I'll start.
Go ahead.
And this is where it's really good to have a really smart general manager. Not just a guy who gets it right with your picks, but a guy who really, he knows it all. He knows the whole league. Here's what I mean. He had a pretty good idea that Oakland was going to draft the linebacker from Alabama. McClain?
Rolando McClain.
Okay. Which immediately meant that Kirk Morrison was going to become expendable, and he was a guy they liked. So Gene Smith went into that draft, went into draft day with a plan. His plan was somehow find a way to jockey in a position to draft Sean Lee, who, by the way, is kicking butt for the Cowboys. All right, and that's another way that you can determine whether a guy is a good evaluator of talent. It's not just what he, you know, what he does with the guys he picks. It's his opinion of the guys that other teams pick too. And Gene Smith was hot on Sean Lee, as it turned out, they're for good reason.
Right.
All right, but he went into that draft with this plan: trade up for Sean Lee, and if you can't do it, then go get Kirk Morrison. That's a pretty good plan.
Yeah. How's Kirk play?
It's been okay. You know, you got to remember it's a new system for him, and there's been an adjustment period. I thought in the first game that he wasn't very good. In the second game, he was much better. And I expect that he's going to continue to get better the more repetitions that he gets.
355 NFL 1. 355.
Did Jeff have a question in there? Oh, yeah, you just got
to. Well, I mean, that's basically, you know, he was asking how he would relate to pass linebackers. He's a very active linebacker. He's a tackling machine. Is he a big play type of player? I haven't seen that yet, but remember, he's still adjusting to a new scheme.
They had a plan on draft day, and another part of the plan was the Larry Hart Austin Lane thing. They wanted Austin Lane. But they felt they could get him a little later, which allowed them to take the swing for Larry Hart. Even though you don't know him and you don't know about Central Arkansas, guys with his rare pass rush ability can go at any time. Somebody can just, you know, I mean, there are such pass rushers are so overdrafted. That you better, if you got a guy you've targeted as they targeted Larry Hart, you better get him.
All right, that'll do it for hour number one of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. And folks, when the Jaguars win, Joe Fortunato leads you to Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, where you'll all win. You'll all get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Mondays and Tuesdays after the Jaguars win.
You'll win, too.
All participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue
Brian
restaurants.
Brian Sexton, winner.
Back after this. I get the last word, Joe.
Winner, Brian Sexton.
News Talk Radio.
Not really.
WOKV.
No. Depend on it.
Depend on it.
Clark Howard, 6-9.
Private student lenders are abusive organizations that treat people horribly. Avoid them like the plague.
News Talk Radio, WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Here we go, hour number two, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live from the broadcast studios in Everbank Field. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, and a couple of callers who hung through top of the hour news break, so let's go right to him without
caller. Caller's outstanding tonight.
All right, let's grab Roger from Cherryville, North Carolina. I believe this is Roger Martin. Hey, Roger, how are you?
Good, doing great, gentlemen. How's everybody?
Good.
Outstanding.
Quick question. The New England Patriots made a lot of hay with Mike Vrabel on goal line situations. Do we have anybody that could perform a similar role?
Jordan Black.
Really?
Yep.
Now here's where a little clarification or want some clarity on your question. Do you mean a guy that can flip over to the other side of the ball?
He's talking
or
about
just
a guy,
somebody that can multitask?
He's talking about a guy catch touchdown passes.
Yeah, exactly. He's just another weapon on the goal line.
That's Jordan. Jordan Black is a tackle who has played some tight end.
Yeah, he in their heavy set, he goes in as a tight end.
He's got hands. He can catch a touchdown pass. Let's see. Do they have any linebackers in that?
No.
No. Do they have any? No, Jordan Black is the answer.
Okay, great.
And I have no doubt Eugene Monroe can do it, too. I mean, a guy as good an athlete as he is, I guarantee you, Eugene can catch a pass.
Yeah, but you don't want those guys catching a pass.
No, you don't. Jordan Black, yeah, you don't care.
if you need a Mike Vrabel, that means you're missing something. Mm-hmm. You know, what I want to see is Mercedes Lewis and Zach Miller. That's what I want to see. Speaking I want to see the offensive guys catch the ball.
Speaking of Zach Miller, where's he? What's his foot like?
We
do know that's a foot.
My information is, and of course this is not official.
But we do know it's a foot.
It's a foot.
Yeah.
It's a foot. There is nothing structurally wrong, so it sounds like there was some kind of a plantar fasciitis, Liz Frank, some kind of an instep problem, some kind of a soreness problem that he tweaked recently, and that's all it was another bout of soreness, if he takes a couple Advil every 4 hours, he'll be fine.
So says Dr. Vic.
The foot is a crazy thing. I've said it before.
It's got 7,000 bones or something.
26 bones, 33 ligaments, more than 100 muscles.
And when it doesn't feel right, it's hard to walk, more or less play football.
Yeah, I think I had to steal that information. I forget where I got it. Very conveniently, I've forgotten where I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting his source, Vic Ketchman on the
radio. He can get it from the Jaguars, of course. I mean, you know.
Is he going to play this week?
They don't have
to
tell you.
I don't know, Jeff.
They don't have to tell you.
But it is a foot.
I got you.
We think it's a thumb. Maybe a foot.
Jared Dillard spilled the beans the other day.
On his injury?
Yeah. It's the other foot. He was favoring the foot that he broke.
Was it
it caused a stress fracture.
Was it an ankle that he broke, or was it low on the leg? I forget.
I thought it was low in the leg, in the ankle area.
Yeah, see, we don't even know.
In your foot ankle area, yeah. Brian.
Somewhere south of the knee.
Well, no, I mean, his injury last year that ended him on IR was an ankle. But, I mean, the ankle does have the tibia and fibula
right
joining down in there, and that's kind of where it was from what I understand.
They were never clear on it, so I wasn't sure whether it was low in the leg or high in the ankle.
Oh, tibia, that encyclopedia.
Keep going. Are you recording?
Never heard that.
3-5.
But
he actually had Lydia.
By the way, Jarrett Dillard had a great start against the Miami Dolphins. He looked very good.
Just going to ask you what you thought of him.
He looked very good. Looked fluid. Looked smooth. Guy's got a nice little knack for just, you know, getting open, and he catches the ball as good as anybody.
He's got great hands, doesn't he?
Great hands.
They've got weapons on offense. Mike Sims-Walker's a weapon. Mike Thomas is a weapon. These just aren't catch machines, you know, like the other guys they had. These are catch and do something with it. Tyquan Underwood's a weapon. Jared Dillard's more of a catch machine.
That's what he is.
He's a catch machine. Mercedes Lewis is a weapon. Zach Miller is a weapon. Looks like Deji Kareem, you know, of course we don't know if it's a thumb, but it looks like he's a weapon. It looks like Scotty McGee might be a weapon. We know Maurice Jones-Drew is. We know Rashad Jennings is becoming one. I really believe this is going to be a good offense. I don't know about the defense. I mean, I have some really deep concerns.
Some patience, Vic.
Yeah. But I also have some deep concerns on defense. But
let's hear them. Let's
talk
them out.
I think they have the potential to be bad early in the year, especially until they get that safety thing fixed, if it can be fixed, and until the pass rush the young guys develop.
That there's a lot of things that need to develop,
right,
and are going to need time, from Aaron Campman's knee to the development of Larry Hart,
Tyson
Alualu, Austin Lane, to Kirk Morrison learning the new system, Justin Durant making a transition back to weak side backer. There's no transition for Daryl Smith. He's fine. Derek Cox, I think, is going to be fine. The safety position is a concern. And, you know, the one area that we really haven't talked about is Rasheen Mathis.
Yeah, is he okay?
You know, I said this when we were talking.
I asked today, but I didn't get any information.
When I asked, remember, in the very extended pregame show that we had last week, I talked about how, you know, when I saw that one play that Rasheen tried to turn on, it didn't look comfortable. Well, then he didn't play against Miami. Rasheen has missed 10 out of the last, or 10 games out of the last two seasons. This is a question for all of us. I mean, do you guys really remember a moment in training camp where you said, oh, that's the Rasheen that we saw a couple years ago? Do you remember any moment like that?
You know, Jeff, that is a salient question. I mean, that is, you're right on. I can't remember a moment in this training camp that I can remember even having seen Rasheen.
Good question. I can't think of one. I can think of many times that I looked at 21 and said, wow, that was a good play.
I was there for just virtually every padded practice. I didn't have a moment like that.
I asked Jack Del Rio today if he felt set. Just checking. Are you set at your cornerback positions? And he said they are. He didn't offer any names, but I'm to assume that that is Rasheen Mathis and Derek Cox, although he did say, we're set, and Scotty's been great at nickel. So it sounds like it's Rasheen and Derek Cox and Scott Starks as the nickel, and then he referred to depth, which would be Carey and Coe, I would imagine.
Yeah, Carey and Coe. And
Brackenridge.
How you put those two in the depth chart, I don't know.
Last year, when Rasheen got hurt, Brackenridge went in.
Mm-hmm.
Would he be the next guy in this year?
No, I don't think so. If you look at the way they came out against Miami and Rasheen wasn't playing, Michael Coe was the first in. So that would lead me to believe that Michael Coe is one step ahead of Don Carey.
I believe that Tyrone Brackenridge is going to chase a veteran safety off this roster. We've been pointing the finger at Reggie Nelson long and hard.
That.
How about Sean Considine? Is he safe?
Yeah, I think so, because he will give you consistent play at the safety spot,
safe?
And he can play special teams.
Yeah, but they got a bunch of special teams guys. Although he really is good, who's not safe then? Are they all safe? All four?
I think Brackenridge and Reggie Nelson.
So you're going five? You're going four safeties?
You got six right now. Courtney Green.
Well, you got Courtney Green too. Let's not forget about him.
He can go to the practice squad.
I don't know. That's an interesting. That's something that we got to see. We got two more games to look. That the linebacking group. The defensive line, which is not clarified yet. Aaron Morgan all of a sudden made a couple plays in the game. Has he found a way to get himself into the mix?
No, I think he's going to be a practice squad guy because Aaron Morgan's high. He's a high cut guy. He needs to lower his pad level. That's my information.
How long will that take him to do?
I don't know. I want to see him against the ones. I want to see him get out there a little earlier.
Well, Jack Del Rio said on his television show that we taped earlier that he expected that Morgan was going to get some time in the first half.
Well, good.
Just to see how he does against top tackles.
You want to see how he's going to do.
And Don Penn, you think, the left tackle for the Buccaneers
He hasn't had a great preseason, but, he's been a good football player. You got to remember something, too. Preseason game 1 and 2, you had two Pro Bowl left tackles. So it's not like you're going to face guys like that, throughout the season. Look within the division. The quality player that you got in the division resides in Tennessee. What does Houston have?
Nothing really.
What does Indy have? Good question. Who's going to play left tackle for them? Charlie's hurt.
Tony Hugo.
Well,
they cut him.
No, he's back as a guard. He's back.
Hey, who was the guy a couple years ago, the cornerback, rookie cornerback, who had a real good training camp, and they decided to give him a shot with the first team in the final preseason game, and he crapped out?
Here?
Yeah. They shined the light on him. They put him in the starting lineup the last day to see if he was as good as he looked all summer long, and he was not.
I see his face.
I don't know.
I'll go back and look. We take a break. We'll have that name for you when we return. This is Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1.
OKV weather meter is a 7, a shower, a thunderstorm in a few spots this evening, but otherwise it's partly cloudy tonight, low 72. But tomorrow and Friday, a mix of clouds and sun, a shower, a thunderstorm around, high tomorrow 90, Friday's high about 88. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dr. Joe Sobel for AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Roll right along here, 7:18 and counting. We go till 8 o'clock straight up with the Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Still looking for that name, so let me throw a question at you while we let this go. Alu, alu. Alu, alu. I'll get it right. Every time I say that, I see the A and the Lou, and I think Alu, alu. Alu, alu.
How did he do?
How did he do, and what does he need to show you over the next couple of weeks?
Well, he had 14 plays. The first play, very, very good effort because he never quit on the rush. And, you know, that's kind of his MO. Mm-hmm. He never quits on anything. And I think that he'll be successful just because with that desire and attitude, you're bound to have success. Mm-hmm. There was one play that I went, ooh, welcome to the NFL. And it was that short yardage play in which he had Rich Incognito and the big stud left tackle, Jake Long, mm-hmm. absolutely hammered him to get a first down. And, that's part of the learning process for a young player. You got to understand that when it comes to that, you better get a little lower than you did in college.
You know,
but a good start for him.
The short yardage back, the guy that can get convert for you on third and one, fourth and one, he is an enormous player in your offense anymore. I mean, he is really big. I mean, there are so many teams that are struggling in short yardage, and the Dolphins got that guy Polite, and he just pounds him out. He was the best in the league last year, and he converted one the other night, got like 4 yards on third and one or something like that. Did the Jaguars have that guy, Jeff?
Maurice Jones-Drew, man, one of the best in the league in short yardage last year.
You want to use him that way, huh?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Heck yeah.
As opposed to especially a Sam Bam Cunningham.
Well, let me ask you this.
Marcus Allen.
Where are you going to find the roster spot to keep a specialty short yardage back when you've got a lot of specialty players right now?
Well, you're not. I mean, you would hope that it would be your second running back or your third running back. I mean, Greg Jones has been that guy, but I'm not sure.
Maurice is one of the best, and I remember asking Kennedy Pohl in a pregame interview, have you ever seen a short yardage back like Maurice Jones-Drew? Mm-hmm. And he said no.
Okay.
I mean, the guy is unbelievably strong, and he's got a great awareness for where he needs to get and how he needs to get there. He's one of the best. So if you have him in that role, what do you do, you know, to maybe lighten his load somewhere else? Well, Rashad Jennings is looking pretty good.
He's a pass catcher.
Yeah, pass catcher. He's going to take a few of them. He's a leading rusher in preseason right now. He's going to maybe take a few of the carries away. Mm-hmm. And he probably needs to. You know, last year, what did Maurice have? 315 carries?
Oh, no, more than
that.
Oh,
boy, Jennings.
360.
Was it that many?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, he had a ton of carries.
Yeah. No, he was over 360 last year.
He had 312 rushes last year.
I may be talking about touches then.
Well, yeah. I mean, 300 rushes in a year is
312
is
quite a bit. Yeah. I mean, that's not counting total touches that he had. That was fifth in the National Football League as far as carries.
Yeah.
You know, so take a few of them away, you know, let Rashad get some of them carries, you know, and hey, Maurice is great at short yardage. Let him keep on doing it.
Yeah, 375 total touches.
Touches.
What's the right number for him, by the way?
350.
Okay.
You know, 350, you know, a lot of that depends on health. You know, but if he's completely healthy, you know, 340, 350, you know, to not just totally wear him down, you want to have him kind of ready to rock and roll down the stretch. You know, the Maurice hit a little bit of a rough spot in the road there, kind of three quarters of the way through the season where his yards per carry average went down. He got a little nicked, and he came back and finished fairly strong. But, I mean, you'd like to not have those bumps in the road.
Would you play him at all on Saturday night? I mean, does he need to play at all?
Yeah.
Keep him fresh?
No, no, he doesn't.
I mean, he's one of the two guys you can
say
that about.
No, what they need more than anything is to have that offensive line play. I mean, that's the most important thing that they need right now is to get some continuity, get these guys working together. Looks like maybe Evan's going to play at right tackle. Not sure what's going to happen at the guard spots. But, you know, they need to get their group, whoever that's going to be. You know, obviously Brad Uche, Evan, and Eugene, and whoever's going to take that other guard spot, they need to get them together so that they can work.
And the coach said that this is the week they decide who has the lead based on what you saw from the tape.
Vince had a good day against Miami.
I heard that too.
Looked strong. And you know where he played? Left side.
Mm-hmm. And that's where he's got to make the team.
But he's been at right.
Yeah.
You know, but looked good at left.
Yeah, but I mean, he's always been a left guard until the ACL.
Well, no, he was left guard last year.
Yeah, I'm saying he's always been a left guard until this year when they decided to move him over there with to compete with Juan Neary, and Juan Neary won the job. He didn't have a good night.
Uche?
Yeah.
He had an okay night at guard. At center, he had a bad night. At center, he had the fumbled exchange. Mm-hmm. And then if you'll remember Randy Starks. Randy Starks got the sack. That was Uche. He beat Uche snap hand quicker than you can imagine and got the sack.
Uche could not – in other words, he's a guard.
I'd rather have him at guard. Mm-hmm. You know, and the player that I want to see, and I don't think we're going to see him this week, is Estes. I'm telling you, don't forget about him, Vic. Jar on the shelf.
There'll be time, yes.
Jar on the shelf.
There'll be time for Estes. Kevin Haslam is going to be a jar on his shelf. He's going to make this team either as – and I don't think he may – I don't think he's going to go to the practice squad. I think he's been exposed – too much.
You know who
to go to the practice.
You know who we haven't talked about yet that has been pretty doggone good. Daniel Baldridge.
Mm-hmm. He's a big kid.
This guy, folks, undrafted rookie from Marshall. Looked like he struggled a little bit in the first couple weeks of training camp. Went to Philly and all of a sudden, whoa! Hey. Who's this big guy that's doing okay?
Can you put him on a practice squad, or has he been exposed?
No,
too
I don't
much?
Think he's been exposed too much. You know, I think he's a guy that
big guys, everybody.
But he's
wants
a big guy,
guys.
And you know, when I say big guy, he's a big guy, 6'8", 315, 320.
They list him at 311, but he's bigger than that.
Yeah, he
has
looks bigger
Haslam
than
been
that.
Exposed too much to go to the practice squad?
Probably not.
Okay,
it's going to be interesting. This is going to be one of the most interesting cuts in a long time.
How many offensive linemen?
They've kept 8 in the past.
What would it take to keep the 9th? And the reason I ask is there's a lot of special teams considerations this year, aren't there?
I don't know. You know,
not there, but around the roster.
You figure 6 wideouts, right?
5.
5? Yeah, but I'm talking 6 with Osgood.
Yes. Then you go with 6.
Then that's going to be 6.
See, I have Sims Walker, Dillard, Osgood.
3 tight ends.
Thomas and Underwood. Who's the 6th? Williamson?
Williamson,
the question's
Thomas, Underwood, Walker, Dillard, Osgood.
So you say Williamson's a lock to make the roster?
I don't say he's a lock.
I heard there was a competition there for the speed receiver between Underwood
and
Williamson.
But is that competition for a roster spot or competition for a game day slot?
I heard roster spot.
Where do you have?
It was going to be one or the other.
How many tight ends you have?
3.
So Miller's a tight end, Lewis Miller, and... Who?
Wilford. Zach Potter.
You only have
guy.
One blocker out of that. I mean, there's only that's the problem.
Jordan
there.
Black, Greg Jones. Okay, you can get that elsewhere.
Okay.
So
that's you're going light at tight end.
3 is light?
No, I mean light with body types.
That's why Jordan Black got your Vrabel Award.
Wilford and Miller are the same
guy. Let's not forget about Greg Jones.
No, he's the fullback. He's the
starting
fullback.
Yeah, but he can play in that H role.
Okay.
He can block now. He's a fantastic blocker. So, I mean, he's not a lineup, you know, in a three-point stance on the line of scrimmage blocker, but that's what Mercedes and Jordan Black is.
But if you're keeping Wilford and Miller, then you got to lighten up a wide receiver. Then it's got to be 5 with Osgood.
I don't know.
If you keep 5
next week, because cut down start next week.
Tuesday is the first cut. But you only have to cut from 80
it's
to 75.
Five.
Right.
Yeah, it's five.
And, I mean, that one of those is going to be DeAnthony Smith going to IR.
Yeah, so next week, let's kind of get a mock cut going, okay? Mm-hmm. So
but just in terms of numbers, real quick, if you only kept eight offensive linemen and five wide receivers, you could keep the fourth tight end.
Sure. Well, you could, but...
Here's the consideration where I'm going with this.
Is he going to get active on game day?
Well, that special teams is a huge consideration.
Is that, you know...
No, but what happens if you get a guy hurt?
Where are you going to get the... here's what I know what you're thinking, Vic. You're thinking Zach Potter's the fourth.
Yeah.
Blocking type tight end.
He's a big guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Former defensive lineman. Now he's a tight end. Does anybody go get him if he's not on your roster?
Probably not.
Ah. Can he get him active on game day in the first 3 weeks of the season, provided everybody's healthy? Probably not.
He's got practice squad eligibility for
him, too. Practice squad eligibility, yeah.
Okay.
You know, you got to remember, when you consider you're 53, it's about 48.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this, Jeff. This is a team that wants to run the ball.
Do they really?
Wait a minute now. We got another half hour in this show. There's your second half.
Yeah, right there.
There's your fourth half hour
time
of the show.
Perfect, Logs, because I got a break right here. Folks, now you know what we're talking about in the last half hour of the show. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline. Get $2 in Jag Bucks back. For details, Jaguars.com. Back after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
All right, Mr. Loggeman, you have some explaining to do. Based on your comment with 28 minutes and 23 seconds gone in the first half hour.
Well, it was it was a rhetorical question.
No, he's hit on something.
You know, and
warning, warning. He's hit on something.
The klaxon.
And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but my question was is do they really want to run the football as much as they have in the past? Looking at the numbers so far in the preseason, it's been very heavy pass, but they've said in the past that they feel like they can run the ball, that they don't need to prove that in a game in the preseason, and they work on the pass. But Kennedy Pola is not here. Mike Tice is not here. Dirk Cutter, it's his offense. And Dirk Cutter has a background that basically marries with Andy Reid at numerous stops. What does Andy Reid like to do? Andy Reid likes to throw the football. Has one of the biggest offensive lines and has in the NFL for a number of years. And what do? They throw the ball a lot.
I think you're on to
something. I don't know. I think
he's on to something. The preponderance of evidence is weighing heavily in favor of throw the ball.
Well, that's what the league has become.
I mean, your second best running back is a great receiver out of the backfield. Your first string running back is a great receiver.
53 catches last year.
And
both your tight ends.
And the guy who possibly has a thumb is also a very good catcher of the football. You've got tight ends that are really wide receivers. In fact, one of them was.
Except for one. Marcetti is one of the best, if not the best, blocking tight end in the game.
Yeah.
I would have to put him number one.
Who's close? I mean, who else is out there?
Heath
Miller, a blocking tight end? He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's
6'5".
Good blocking tight end.
He's a block catch tight end. Yeah. Best of both.
He's like Marcetti. They're in the same category. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's a better blocking tight end in the league.
To go through it.
I mean, think about it. I mean, who else have you got? I mean, really? I mean, there is not anybody out
there.
Ben
Watson?
No.
He's just
a
receiver.
He's not a blocker. Mercedes is
Todd Heap used to be, but he's been injured.
Todd Heap's always been a receiver.
He'll block a little now.
He'd give you effort, but he's not a dominant blocker.
Not
like Mercedes.
Jason Witten in
he's a receiver
in Dallas.
He's like Dallas Clark,
yeah.
Kind of same thing. He'll give effort, just like Tony Gonzalez will give you effort.
Let's see. I want to think about him.
The Giants got a blocking tight end,
Kevin Boss, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's not Mercedes.
No. But he's a blocking tight end.
Can the guy with all the tattoos block?
Who's that?
The guy from Miami. Shockley.
Yeah, Jeremy Shockley. Shockey.
He's a blocker, catcher. He can do both.
Yeah, but he wants to catch.
I know, but he's...
What you're saying is that
he's a block and catch tight end.
But, I mean, there's nobody that's even in Mercedes' category when it comes to blocking.
Because the category is shrinking.
I was just about to say. When you look at
the game has changed. Right. The game has changed, and, you know, has this offense, and will it change?
Can this team be a throw-the-ball offense and win?
I think this has to be a balanced team.
So they have to run the ball?
Yes.
50-50.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to be 50-50, or do you really
believe? I don't know. I mean, that's going to be the most interesting storyline.
Well, then you've got to make
X's and O's wise.
You've got to make a decision.
What will they be?
You've got to make a decision then and commit. I mean, you can't just keep loose pieces. The pieces have to fit in a puzzle. If you're going to run the ball, then you got to keep guys like Greg Jones and Zach Potter. In my opinion, you've got to go heavy. If you're going to throw the ball, then you don't need these lumbering guys.
What's the best approach with a defense that's not ready to go?
Possessing the ball,
right?
Although it's tough to play catch up, you know. I mean, they could find themselves playing catch up.
Well, I mean, there's two ways.
Yeah.
You know, possess the ball or the ability to score points.
What you're talking about, the subject that you have introduced, by the way, is a big time subject in this building. It's something that has been philosophized and discussed through the spring. You know, how can we get back to being that ball control offense? Are we committed to being that ball control offense? It's a big deal. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, we won't know the answer to that until we get to the regular season, because in the preseason, you're going to see pass heavy, I think. You know, we thought we were going to see a team run the football against Miami, and we really didn't, did we?
Mm-mm. No. I don't want to put any limits on David. But wasn't David at his best in 2007 when you ran the heck out of the ball?
Any quarterback would be at their best when they're the number one team in the league running the football.
Yeah, right, and playing good defense because it's well-rested.
There's also another factor in that people don't consider, and that is that when you're vanilla on offense by formation, the defense tends to be vanilla by formation. In other words, you're giving them the same look over and over. You're giving them two wide receivers, a tight end, a fullback, and a running back, and basically you're getting the same look over and over. The quarterback doesn't have a lot of reading to do. I mean, he's seeing the same thing over and over. I think it benefited David Garrard in 2007 that he was dealing with a very, very a much more
simplified. He was dealing with eight in the box every time.
Right, exactly. Bingo. There it is.
He was dealing with a defense that said, oh, we got to stop Fred Maurice.
Right.
That's the priority.
You've got a jumbo formation and these electric running backs, and the first concern of the defense is to stop the run, and you are benefiting from it because you know there's less emphasis on you, number one, and number two, you're seeing the same defense over play after play after play. If you go with all this multiple stuff, you're going to get a lot of different coverages. Now, I mean, you're going to have to be good at dissecting that.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351.
Be interesting.
You're going to get nickel. You're going to get dime. You're going to get blitz.
You're going to get nickel, dime, and base, okay? But you know what one thing you're going to get, because that's what they got last year? Dare David. I mean, that's what when the Jaguars are in their base personnel, the defense are probably going to have the box loaded. When they go to their three wide receiver sets, they'll have seven in the box. And when I say eight and seven in versus those two personnel groupings, it means that their concern is going to be to stop 32.
How about spread the field and run it?
You can spread the field, but it's a matter of who's left in the box.
Well, if you're spreading the field, you got to drag that guy out of the box.
Yeah, you don't ever have to. You know, defenses can always keep an extra defender in the box, no matter what personnel you're in. That's
if they elect to go man-to-man somewhere.
Well, it doesn't have to be man-to-man either.
Well, I mean, they got to be thin in coverage if they're putting an extra man in the box.
Exactly.
Well, you've got weapons now. You've got guys who can fry that.
Zach Miller.
And you know what defenses are going to approach? You know what their approach is going to be?
Go get it.
You think you got weapons? Prove it.
Okay, and that's what they have to do, prove it.
That's what they got to do.
Well, then we can end the show. we figured it out. It's all on the quarterback.
As it always is.
It always is.
How about, by the way, did you see the transcript? Did you hear the interview that he did with our buddy Pete Prisco?
I heard of it.
I read the
transcript. He conducted himself well, and I heard that, you know, that both Pete and David were professional in how they addressed each other. Good.
Just curious. I mean, he's called him Captain Checkdown all these years. David stayed away from him all these years. Didn't let it get under his skin.
I'm...
Big move, I thought, for David to go do it.
I don't know.
No?
No, it's good. It's good that he did it.
Pete's out of control.
It's good that you address your critics. It's good that you confront them.
And you handle yourself with dignity.
Yeah.
Me and Pete have gone round and round and round.
That's what Pete likes. Pete doesn't want anyone to say yes to him. He wants you to say no to him.
It's all part of the game to him, and he's a little over the top.
But a part of me still thinks
you are Pete, and you know it.
What's that?
I was just talking to Pete there.
Okay. A part of me still thinks that you can't let them get to you. I mean, you can't let them smoke you out, so to speak. Hey, you don't exist. I mean, this is my game, and I block all that out. It's the old, you know, I don't read the newspapers, I don't listen to the radio, I don't watch the TV. And there's got to be some of that in these guys.
Well, and David did that for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Last three seasons, at least, he hasn't addressed it.
How did it hurt? Did it ever at any time hurt him?
No.
They'll never criticize you for what you didn't say. Now, he did a good job. And if he had gone on there and somehow got tangled up.
Melted down.
You know, now you got a real problem. So there was a risk.
Yeah, but he handled himself well.
Yes, he did.
Veteran quarterback, leader of the team, performed well. Let's take a break. We'll come back. One more segment. Jaguars This Week, right after this on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. On News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Time to wrap things up here. About 9 minutes left in the program. Don't forget, Saturday afternoon, for those of you listening here in Jacksonville, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show begins at 4:30, followed by Jaguars pregame at 6:30, kick it at 7:30, and then the Winn-Dixie postgame show, followed by the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. How about that? I mean, 2 years from now, we're likely to be done with the preseason after two games.
Be nice.
How did it feel for you going 6-4?
Oh, it was a fantastic relief. You were playing in those days two preseason games after Labor Day.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. The season didn't start before September the 21st. It was always, in fact, I'll get out a media guide and I'll give you the dates. You carry this for a minute.
You know, you remember when we started 97 in August.
Mm-hmm.
Opening day in Baltimore.
Yeah, you know what would be interesting to me is will the regular season still start, okay, in September, which you would expect.
Right.
And then now you only have, and we've already talked about how it will push it later into the year to where they get to that President's Weekend.
And
that's
the
goal.
The day off.
And but if you start at the same time and you have two preseason games, when will they report?
Well, they can't report more than 15 days before, can they?
Well, will that change?
Well, you're still playing 20 games, so will the league or will the union go for it?
Well, that's what, to me, is going to be interesting to watch. Will the players still report 14 days prior to the first preseason game or 15, whatever it's going to be?
Right.
Or will they report earlier than that and have, let's say, you know, 21 days?
That was the chair. That was not me. You, of all people, should not question.
I'm just wondering. So what'd you find out?
It was, like I said, the third week, third Sunday in September was the start of the regular season, and the fall in 1978, it was September the 3rd That was the first year they went to 16
games.
That
was Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they left Labor Day weekend a couple years ago.
Yeah.
What, 4 or 5 years
Well,
ago.
Because there was so much complaining about vacations, you know, so right. then they pushed it back 1 week. To answer Jeff's question, all that's going to be hashed out in the new CBA. You know what's going to become more important?
OTAs.
OTAs and combined practices.
And which there's enough OTA days now, you know, just let them push what they have allotted for OTAs back to, you know, 15 days prior to the first preseason game. And then, you know, as soon as they report, go to the pads.
Yes.
You know, you got 4 weeks to get ready for the game, and that's plenty.
Yeah, I'm thinking, am I reading you right here? Because if I am reading you right, I agree that they'll bring OTAs toward training camp.
Yeah, which is what they've
flow
kind of done anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're not going to ask them to report 21 days prior to the first preseason game or anything like that. Yeah. They'll let them have 2 weeks, play a game, play another game, and roll.
How about this for an idea? How about you do a week of training camp in Jacksonville, like you always have, and then you go down to Disney, and you get the Bucks and the Dolphins to come up, and you do a joint practice with three teams for a couple of days.
Nah, that'd be hard.
You think so?
Yeah, that'd be hard.
One of the things I would like to see...
You do it with high school teams and jamborees, but you could find some way to make it work.
One of the things I would like to see them do is take these teams in the heat in the South... in the preseason, and play them at least, well, if we're going to two games, then make one of them, play them in the North. Play them and let these guys get out of the hot weather for, give them a break. You know, I mean, this Miami-Tampa routine we're going through, I mean, it's really tiresome.
But that's when we get to the two preseason games, don't you think?
I mean, it's just, we don't ever get out of the heat. We did in Philadelphia. It was a nice night, and that really was a break. That was wonderful because it was furiously hot in Atlanta, and it was, you know, furiously, it's been furiously hot here, and Saturday night was crappy, and it's going to probably be 9 million degrees Saturday in Tampa, and then you come back on Thursday against Atlanta right here. I mean, I'd like to see these guys get, I'd like to see me too, get a break from the weather. You know, send them north, send them to Green Bay, send them to Minnesota, send them to Buffalo, send them to Chicago, play the games, you know, the preseason games up there.
Cost more money.
Ah, you're going to spend $100,000 on the charter to go to. They probably spent $100,000 to go to Philadelphia. If you went to Chicago, what would it be? $125,000.
I don't know. I'm not a travel guy.
You see that the Cardinals played the Titans Monday night.
Yeah.
And then they're playing Chicago this week, so they just stayed. They mm-hmm. practiced for a couple of days against the Titans,
right.
And then they were going somewhere in
Get
Illinois
out of the
to
heat.
Practice for a couple of days.
Absolutely.
Although it's pretty hot in that part of the world in the summer, too, but
yeah,
not the desert.
I mean, what these guys have had to endure here in the summer, and I think you have to lighten up on them in practice as a result.
Well, if you go to 18 games, you're going to see a dramatic change in the way the teams train.
I got, you know, in the beginning when they did realignment and then the league took over the preseason scheduling, and we've gotten into this thing. It's Miami and Tampa every year. Frankly, I'm tired of it.
But it's not going away with two. Now you're going to play Miami and Tampa, and there's your games.
I know, and I think it is.
Because it cuts down expense.
Yucko. I really do. I think it's boring. I'd like to see them play other teams.
I'm all for it. But getting rid of two of the four, I'm more for that.
Okay. What was 2007 went to Green Bay.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Oh, it was a memorable preseason game.
But as a player, you don't care. Let's just get through it. You know, the
you
travel.
You don't care about the heat?
No. I mean, you're used to it. You know, it's not that big. It's a bigger deal for us. I mean, because we want to go somewhere like we were in Philly, and it was kind of cool compared to here.
That was nice.
It was nice. But players, they don't care. You know what they want? They want to play the game and get home at a reasonable hour.
Well, Miami and Tampa are made for that.
That's right. Easy. In and out.
You're not building any rivalries in the preseason, though.
Right.
They thought that because they were Florida teams that they would have some extra, you know, zip for the game. There's no extra zip there. There's no zip for preseason. I'd like to see them move it around.
Well, I guess you could probably get the same effect if you go and play Atlanta. I mean, that's a short flight. Carolina's a short flight. Mm-hmm. You could mix it up a little bit. But based on what we've seen, what is this, 7 or 8 straight years of now Miami and Tampa?
Well, and any, I mean, like, for example, you know, Tennessee is not a very long flight. Cincinnati's not a long flight. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, those aren't long flights.
Why can't we do some of that? We used to go to St. Louis and Kansas City to play preseason games. You know, it was different. It was something different. I mean, I feel like it's the same preseason over and over and over. I mean, you feel like you're stuck in preseason Groundhog Day.
This is number 9 against Tampa, and last week was number 9 against the Miami Dolphins. So, I mean, you're right. And at what, how many years has this team been here? How many preseasons is it?
This is the 16th preseason.
16th preseason, and you've had 9 in which you played Miami and 9 in which you played
Tampa. But 8 straight, right? Because they played Tampa, they played Miami in 1995, you guys did.
I guess you're right.
So it's 8 straight. But that's all, I mean, that's, you're getting the same thing. Although I will tell you, you know, I mean, when you got to go to Philadelphia, or you've got to go, remember we went to San Francisco that year?
Yeah, that's too far.
No, that's too far.
You don't want that. But you can get to the north here. You can get to the Buffaloes and the New Englands. You used to go to New England. That was great.
2006, we were there.
In an hour and a half, 2 hours, you're there. I mean, you can do that.
That wasn't great. They didn't play anybody up there.
I know that part wasn't great, but just a little, you know, if we're going to do this, let's put a little flavor into it.
I'm all about it.
How do you find the flavor?
I think that's just
different teams.
Yeah, let's see different uniforms. Let's see different players. You know, if there's a player in the league like a Barry Sanders, and you never see him because you're in the other conference.
But you know what you lose? Selling tickets to that team that's not that far away, to their fans.
Oh, I can't believe anybody from Miami was here.
There was Miami jerseys here.
Yeah, they were lost.
But they were people from here.
Well, if that's the case.
Still?
Okay.
Who knows? That'll do it. Talk to you guys in Tampa. Have a great night, everybody.